This Bites, discussing Milwaukee's culinary and restaurant culture.
With Ann Christensen of Milwaukee Magazine and Tariq Moody of 88.9.
Welcome to Milwaukee's longest running culinary podcast, This Bites, with your food hosts, writer and critic for Milwaukee Magazine, the wonderful, talented Ann Christensen, and me from Radio Milwaukee, Tariq, aka The Architect. This week's edition of This Bites, we return with Ann's latest recap from Top Chef. We also got news about a new Italian restaurant on the east side that just opened, a soul food restaurant coming to Humboldt Park, and a new vendor at Sherman Phoenix, all on this week's edition of This Bites. But we kick off with a story over Milwaukee Magazine's website that you wrote about Ardent.
Yeah.
What's the details on that?
Ardent Restaurant, which is over on Farwell, tiny restaurant known for its tasting menu. They have been on winter break for the last few months and have announced that they're going to reopen on May 17th, but it's going to be different. So Ardent is going to come back after a winter break. They're returning on May 17th, but things are going to be different. The restaurant is now like all these different things. So one part of it is elegant, sit down, tasting menu, by reservation only. And another part is a lounge that serves a lounge menu and has different nightly specials that highlight other businesses that owner Justin Carlisle created. They're going to have ramen specials. They're going to have taco specials. They're doing Friday fish fries. And then when on nights when the tasting room is not open, that area is going to be a wine bar. So they've got all these different concepts going kind of in two spaces. So not just the Ardent space, but the old Red Light Ramen space, which has been vacant now since I would say last summer when it closed. Upshot is you've got all these different ways you can dine at Ardent, whether you want to have something more casual or something fancier. And that all kicks off on May 17th. Not everything will be available then. They're starting out with the lounge. I think the tasting room is going to open within the few weeks after that. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Justin, I think, was saying, you know, it's kind of reflects in a way, you know, how people are dining these days.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It makes me just that whole idea of things changing in terms of fine dining. It makes me a little sad, Tariq, because I hope there's still going to be a place for fine dining in the future, you know, but what is that going to look like? I don't know.
Yeah, I think fine dining still be around. It's just, it's evolving.
Yeah.
With the new generation and those kids, that Gen Z, they're changing everything. Coming up on This Bites, we'll continue our conversation with Ann's Top Chef recap. And speaking of Top Chef recap, also the dandans of something special at Syndex. We'll get into that on This Bites right after this.
I'm 88.9's Dory Zori.
And I'm Milwaukee Films' Christopher Pollard.
And we are the hosts of Cinebuds.
Yeah, we are. And on Cinebuds, we talk about movies.
Flicks.
Moving pictures, they are referred to as also.
Talkies.
Talkies is good, yeah. And you can listen to us every week.
On Wednesdays at 8 a.m.
Yeah, or you can listen to the entire podcast at radiomilwaukee.org/podcast.
Why wouldn't you? Cinebuds is brought to you with support from our members.
Love you.
We're back on This Bites, Milwaukee's longest running culinary podcast. I think that it will be 10 years this year in October.
Okay. It's crazy.
10 years. Cause we started in 2014, right?
You're probably right.
Yeah. 10 years.
Wow. I can't believe that. That's crazy.
We started before the podcast craze too. So we're trendsetters.
Okay.
We're back on This Bites, Top Chef.
Yeah.
Still going on. How many episodes is it? 21 episodes? What is this? How many?
I actually don't know how many total episodes they're going to have. But
I guess it depends. Like, how many chefs on their show? That's probably how many episodes.
And they added another chef this week. This was a huge episode. This is a really big one.
How do you add another chef in the middle of the competition?
Well, because they have
That's not fair.
No, this is what... Okay, we talked about this. Well, first of all, we didn't talk about last week's episode. And the big takeaway from that was that our boy Dan of Dan, he won the elimination challenge. And that meant that he has immunity for the episode that was just on this week. So basically... Oh. That means he couldn't get eliminated.
Still kicking.
Yeah.
My boy, our boy.
So what's been happening though with this season is that each time a chef gets eliminated, they get sent to an island, basically. They get sent to Last Chance Kitchen, where they get to compete against other chefs, and whoever wins comes back to Top Chef.
I don't know about that, how I feel about that.
Well,
I know it's good for ratings. I know it's great for ratings.
Yeah. Last night, one of the chefs who was eliminated came back and she brought with her a new guy. And you may have heard of this guy. His name is Su An. He is from Chicago. He's a Chicago chef. And I didn't know a whole lot about him. But
those Chicago chefs, watch out for him.
He's really interesting. And he's at a restaurant, Adelina. That was the restaurant or is the restaurant that he works at. And I don't know, he's really charming and he's got a personality and he's pretty humble. And I don't know, I just think he's great. So they brought him on last episode or this week's episode. So that kind of shook things up. And then, okay, the big thing that happened was for the elimination challenge, they brought on a guest judge and it was Maddie Matheson. And Maddie came up with this idea. The whole competition would be centered around this idea of chaos. So he wanted to like have them just think completely out of the box, just put things together that don't belong together, just like absolutely go bonkers.
Just like his former bankrupt company he worked at, Vice Media.
Oh. Wow.
Maddie Matheson.
Well, Maddie, as you probably know, Maddie's also a producer and an actor. He's on The Bear.
Oh, he's an actor now. Okay.
Well,
I like him.
And he was really
one of the few celebrity chefs on TV I enjoy watching.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was really an enjoyable episode to watch. There was a lot of really interesting food being made. So
What was the theme? I mean, you shared the theme. What did Dan cook? What was the?
Okay, well, Dan, you might like what Dan ended up making. He could have totally like biffed it, and it wouldn't have mattered because he couldn't be eliminated because he had gotten immunity.
I would make a peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Right. He ended up doing, and I'm not going to say this right. You can say it better than I do.
Okonomiyaki.
He did that, but it was an okonomiyaki.
Okonomiyaki. Now you got me saying it wrong. A what? Cake?
It was a that thing. Say the word.
Okonomiyaki.
Funnel cake.
So we had a little funnel.
And it, yes.
Batter. The batter was mostly a savory batter of all the ingredients of an okonomiyaki. Yep. And did the whole thing.
And he had all this different seafood on it. It had bacon. It had all these different sauces. The chefs.
I need to talk
it.
To Dan. I think he's plagiarizing me. Dan Jacobs is like copying me, man. Aren't you, Dan? Do I get credit for this, Dan?
Yeah. Well,
you saw my pictures on Facebook and you were inspired. So I need some credit, Dan. Tell Kristen Kish the truth about that funnel cake, where it came from.
Well, it looked delicious and the judges really liked it. And he was in the top like four of the chefs. Okay.
Who won? Who took the prize this episode?
A chef named Danny. Danny made this thing that looked like you saw it and you're like, oh my God, that doesn't look like chaos. It looked really boring, but it apparently was incredible because it looked just like steamed cabbage, but the thing had like this incredible filling. And the judges thought that it was like had a slow burn. In other words, like it was one of those things, like you looked at it and it didn't look chaotic, but all the flavors were just
chaotic.
Yeah. And it was like something that took them completely by surprise. And Tom Colicchio ended up saying, he's one of the judges, he ended up saying that it was one of the best things he's eaten in like 20 years on that show.
Well, you can tell by his taste that he don't really eat very well. Tommy boy, time for a new judge, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, this chef, this guy named Danny Garcia, and he's out of Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, of course.
He's been one of the chef testants who's done a lot of really cool things this season. Mm. But what was really crazy was who ended up getting eliminated, because it was somebody who, I mean, a couple episodes ago, I was thinking in my mind, this woman's going to win it, but she got eliminated. But again, she got sent to Last Chance Kitchen, so she has the potential to come back. So I don't know.
Like, so it's like this season just won't.
I don't know if it's ever going to end.
Okay. That's good. Top Chef. So thank you again for your recap. I love your recaps on Top Chef. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Speaking of Top Chef and our own Dan Jacobs, news about Dan. The restaurant is now selling bottles of their sauces at Syndic's food markets, as reported by the Biz Journals in Milwaukee. So basically, Dan Jacobs and Dan Van Wright, who started Dan back in July 2016. Man, wow. Time goes by fast.
Yeah, that place is 8 years old.
Yeah, they have bottled their famous General Tso's sauce, a Mongolian sauce, for exclusive sale at area location at Syndic's Food Market. So if you like their General Tso's cauliflower or the Mongolian beef and egg roll dipping sauce, now you can have that sauce at home to put on your food, whatever kind of food you want. So apparently this has been in the works. This idea has been in work for 5 years. So it's been a while, so... And now they got it rolled off. So now you can get some Dan in a bottle.
Yeah. Maybe that just shows how difficult it is to get a product off the ground. I don't know. Right?
I don't feel like Kraft does it all the time. So.
Oh. Yeah.
How many salad dressings are there out there, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that's cool. Good for them. Next. I think we talked about it a while ago, but it looks like they're open. The new Italian restaurant replaced Tavolino. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
On the corner of Murray and East North Avenue, called, you know, you can pronounce Italian better than I can, but it's El Encontro. El Encontro.
I think it's just L'Incontro, but I don't know.
L'Incontro.
I think.
I thought you knew you're Italian.
Oh,
you're a big fan of pasta and Italian food. I thought you like.
I like pasta, so I can speak Italian.
I love Japanese food. And I can pronounce okonomiyaki.
I don't know why I cannot pronounce that word. It every time I see it, I'm like, oh, I can't say it. It's. I mean, like it literally cannot get those consonants out.
Mm. Well. So this new restaurant, L'Incontro, I'm going with your pronunciation. Blame you. The restaurant, again, at 2315, will feature a menu of Italian dishes with a hint of global inspiration, as quoted by Urban Milwaukee. There will be dishes like sisig pizza, kind of a riff on a Filipino dish with their Filipino sausage, longanisa sausage, jalapenos, cherry tomatoes, white sauce, and salsa verde. Other dishes include sweet potato ricotta gnocchi tossed with sage and butter, pistachio, and fiddlehead ferns. Because that's season now, right? Fiddlehead ferns in season?
Yeah.
It's like a short season. It's a short season, right?
Very short.
Yeah. So they have other dishes. According to Urban Milwaukee, they reported that they have a fall off the bone lamb shake, sweet and sour fried chicken, and whole fish cakes with calamari, shrimp, and branzino. jicama, ramps, greens, and salsa verde. So it looks kind of interesting.
We're getting some fusion out of that.
Yeah. And their hours will be Sunday through Thursdays from 5 to 9 p.m. and Fridays and Saturdays from 5 to 10 p.m. And according to Urban Milwaukee, they might expand the hours as they get to know the neighborhood and the people get to know them. Up next, beer garden season is almost upon us, right? Is that right? Beer garden season?
Yeah, I guess it is. So,
it looks like Urban Milwaukee reported that there's a soul food restaurant coming to Humboldt Park, especially during the beer garden season. Carol's Kitchen and Catering, food truck and catering business, will take over the food service at the beer garden at Humboldt Park called The Vine. Dun, dun, dun. Sounds like a soap opera. Carol's is known for their catfish, which I know a lot of people don't eat catfish other than people, you know, who have flavor and taste in the city. Well, I'll leave it at that. People eat that bland, overpriced cod and beer battered. Blah. But we know how catfish is what mean a good fried catfish is cornmealed, fried, perch catfish or whiting. That's a proper fish fry. Mm-hmm. And that's what Carol Kitchen does. They're bringing catfish to Humboldt Park. I'm going to think people have probably never had catfish in their life and be like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. How come I never heard of this? So you have to thank Carol for introducing over in Humboldt Park. That's in Bayview, right? Humboldt Park, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bayview will get a taste of catfish, a little soul in Bayview, which they kind of need, you know. So this is big news. I'm happy for Carol's Kitchen and Catering. They've been in business for over six years. They even had a brick and mortar for a while. It only lasts about 3 years. But that will give me a good reason to go to Bayview. Give me some catfish and beer. Makes me happy. Because you can't get that much. It's hard to, you know, only certain times a restaurant carries catfish. You know.
Yeah. And I don't see it very often.
Yeah. Have you had catfish?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been catfish? Which one?
Do I want to answer that question?
Oh, that's okay. I want to know more.
No. I like catfish a lot, though. I enjoy eating it.
Yeah. Addition to the catfish, other items include hamburgers, chicken wings, Philly cheesesteak, fried okra, yum, fried mushrooms, fried green tomatoes. There's a theme there. And fried catfish on Friday nights. Fried catfish on Friday night. See what I did there?
Yep.
Friday.
I hear you. I get it.
So, big ups to Carol's Kitchen and Catering.
Okay. I just wanted to know if we know exactly when they're starting to serve this.
When I'm assuming when beer garden season is upon us.
Okay. All right. Good answer.
Next, we got some news from Sherman Phoenix. They have a new vendor. Been a lot of changes over there. They have a new family-owned catering company that will take home in Sherman Phoenix called Richmond's Food for Your Soul. Of course, Sherman Phoenix is located on Fond du Lac Avenue at 3536. It'll be a full-time vineyard that would launch sometime later this spring, offering a menu of home-style foods, according to Urban Milwaukee, such as chicken, fish, ribs, burgers, and more. They launched as a husband and wife team. They launched Richmond's back in 2009 as a catering company, and they provided meals for places like some basketball team you might have heard of, Milwaukee Bucks, the American Cancer Society, and others. They opened a brick and mortar that closed after 3 years, but they kept cooking. So be on the lookout for them later spring, and they'll be joining places like Junior Smokes Barbecue, Planet Vibes, Baked Dreams and Cheers over at the Sherman Phoenix. Well, that wraps up this week's edition of This Bites. This Bites is edited and produced by Marco Doucette, aka Marcus Doucette, and support from our membership. Please subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, NPR, Spotify, Apple, or just head over to RadioMilwaukee.org. We'll take care of you there. As always, Ann, stay hungry.
And keep the Malort cold.
Have a good weekend.
You too.